We all dream about traveling around the world, but what is it actually like and how can we actually do it? Is it even possible? We're going to break down a lot of these questions in today's episode. Welcome to the Women of YouTube podcast. This podcast is hosted by me, Desiree Martins. Every week, I'm going to be showing up in your earbuds to inspire you on your YouTube journey with killer interviews with women YouTube creators, deep dives into the inner workings of how YouTube works, and discussing all the things about YouTube culture and the impact it is having on our world.
This podcast is brought to you in partnership with vidIQ, where they help you maximize your video's YouTube reach by studying titles, descriptions, tags, and playlists relevant to your subject matter, while also studying your competitors to help you know exactly what you should be doing for your YouTube growth.
So if you're a female creator looking to grow your channel, level up your content, and learn from the best women creators on the platform to get you on your way to YouTube success and future-proofing your income, this is the perfect place for you. Let's do this. What's up, ladies? Welcome to the episode of the Women of Video Podcast. Super pumped to be in your earballs. Yes, I almost messed that up and said the wrong name. I've been having this like flashbacks to Women of YouTube situation. I think it's because I'm talking to so many YouTubers lately, but we are the Women of Video Podcast and we're here to talk about women and how they make video content on the interwebs. I had the absolute pleasure of talking with Ellie about her journey as a creator. She is an incredibly active and fiery young woman who has found a love and passion for creating beautiful content while traveling to, like, I think she said in our interview, 100 different countries. And she's able to just create content that allows for her to grow and thrive in this space in a like slow but steady kind of way, and just live this amazing dream this amazing way. We dove into a lot of things like safety, how she does it, how we can do it, any ideas that she has about like how she's going to grow, what she's going to do when she has a family. We dove into all of the things and it was just really, really wonderful. And I cannot express not only the amount of envy I have for her amazing adventures, but also like all the cool things that we got to talk about, the places that she's been and the things that we can learn from her. So without further ado, here's that interview. Welcome to the podcast, Ellie. I'm so excited when I get to like have real life conversations with like my LinkedIn connections. So it's going to be a good one today.
Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited.
So first things first, what do you create on the internet?
So my background is in travel content creation, but I now do, I guess, a few different things. So I guess a little bit about myself and who I am. So I'm a travel content creator. I've been doing it for about 3 years now. So that's primarily creating content on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram. But I also have launched recently a new business called Press Upload, which is an agency which provides creative services to content creators. So within all of that, I'm now creating content around the creator economy, around social media, the creative space. So that's my sort of two different directions of content, the travel content and also talking about, yeah, the creator economy, which is, of course, a very exciting topic at the moment.
So can you tell us, how did you get started with creating content and why? Why did you get started?
I've always loved making videos since I was a kid and I went on my family holidays. I was always making sort of short videos, you know, about the trip. And I guess as I've got older, that sort of, you know, grew that sort of desire to sort of create content and document things. And I started watching YouTube when I was about 15 and loved that. I mean, Casey Neistat was the guy I watched first. I think I speak to a lot of creators who have, you know, were first inspired by Casey Neistat. And yeah, I sort of share that experience. And I guess, yeah, I've always watched YouTube, you know, growing up. And then it wasn't until sort of 3-4 years ago that I started to create my own content. And the passion for that has just grown over time. And it's taken me in various different directions. And I've collaborated with certain people. And I've been able to travel to 41 countries. I'm 24. So that's been incredible. And that's just, even more so, you know, developed a desire for creating content, documenting my life and sharing my experiences. And, you know, as I mentioned now, sort of moving across to sort of, as well as doing the travel content, doing this new style of content as well. So sharing a lot on LinkedIn about the creator economy and trying to sort of, be a thought leader in the space. That's the goal anyway, is to sort of be recognized as someone that's sharing value, providing value about the creator economy, social media, insights, kind of that sort of thing. So that's my story and where I'm at the moment.
Okay, it's a very nice summary, but we're going to dive into some details. So what was the first kinds of content that you created and how did you get to that specifically?
So I would say the first sort of content I created was on YouTube. So I did a year abroad in Barcelona. So at university, I studied history and Spanish, and part of that degree gives you a year abroad. So I was in Barcelona and I was documenting my experience living by myself in a different country, primarily just for my friends and family, just to share them, you know, share my experience with them. And I guess to do so in a creative way, which I've always loved, like I said, documenting my experiences and my trips and everything. And then it really just grew from there. You know, like I said, I create content on TikTok, Instagram. So sort of delving into that short form content. I think my sort of passion really does lie in long form. I absolutely love YouTube, love watching long form on YouTube. But of course, you've got to adapt and evolve to the ever changing social media space. And obviously short form now is huge. So, you know, I guess it developed into, I guess, creating more short form content as well and repurposing content from my long form. So, yeah, I'd say that's where it sort of really started, the real sort of passion for really sort of documenting my life and, you know, the process of editing and sort of formulating it all together was probably that year abroad experience in Barcelona. And that was 2021. So, yeah, it's been, I guess, you know, 3 years since that I've just been doing it more often and more often. Graduated university last summer and now I'm doing this as my full time thing.
That's amazing how you've been able to do it. So I'd love for you to share with us, like, what were the income things that you had in place and that you built through your college years that allowed for you to go full time as a creator?
Yeah. So I guess firstly, I think the big thing is confidence. I know obviously I'll talk about, you know, income, but I think confidence was the big thing that doing this for the last sort of 3-4 years has allowed me to, you know, leave university and now to do what I'm doing full time. And I think also from having the confidence to put myself out there and learn about content, the creator economy, the opportunities out there, it then allowed me to access, you know, monetization opportunities, which, you know, I've tried to sort of tap into over the last, you know, 12 to 18 months is when I've really started to monetize what I'm doing. So I not only had developed a confidence from just putting myself out there and trying to access opportunities and connect with other creators, but obviously then being able to monetize what I've been doing allows me to keep doing more of what I'm doing. So it's like a positive cycle sort of effect. So it's like circular effect, sorry. Yeah, I think it really started from having a confidence to put myself out there and just chat to people and learn about this creator space, because there's a lot, as I'm sure you know, there's a lot to it, isn't there? There's a lot going on and you sort of got to find where your passion lies within the space. But yeah, the confidence to sort of put myself out there was a big sort of catalyst in all of this.
As creators, we're always on like this journey of trying to figure out how things work, and we often stumble. What was a stumbling point in your creator journey that made you even consider doubting what you're doing or what was going on or pivoting away from what this was? But obviously you overcame and came back. So take us on that journey, if you don't mind.
I think honestly, it's really relevant to how I've been feeling recently. In the last probably 2 weeks or so, I've seen quite a lot of growth on my YouTube, my TikTok, building my personal brand on LinkedIn. And that's really as a result of 3 years of lots of hard work. You know, for 2-3 years, I've been doing content creation and, you know, not making any money, not seeing a ton of views. And, you know, I really believe that those who, you know, that fail are just those that stop. If you keep going and you keep being consistent, you will get there. And I think I'm so glad. I'm sort of happy for my sort of past self for keeping going. Because there are definitely moments where you're doubting, you know, your niche, you know, am I being too general in my niche? You know, am I sort of covering myself across different areas that there's not a demand for with content? You know, within travel content creation, there's so much that you can do, whether it's budget travel, solo female travel, luxury travel. And I've sort of compared myself a lot at times to other people and sort of doubting whether I'm doing the right thing or whether it's actually going to work, because obviously, you know, you leave university and you have to make sure that what you're doing is going to be sustainable and you're going to make money and it's going to be, you know, a career. So I think definitely a few stumbling blocks and doubt, you know, moments of doubt across the journey. But I think just the fact that I've kept going has allowed me to get to this point now where I can see sort of, you know, I know it's not all about numbers, but I'm seeing an increase in things like views and stuff and people sharing sort of feedback and comments and stuff. So, yeah, a big thing for me has just been accepting the periods of doubt, pushing through them, remaining positive and remembering my why. And my why is because I just love creating content, documenting things and sharing things. So I mean, that's the bigger thing I'd say to someone who's doubting themselves, perhaps within this creator space. Remember your why. Remember why you enjoy doing it so much.
I think that what I'm looking for with this answer, well, that's a really, very nice political answer. I want to know about something like that's happened to you that has been hard.
Okay.
And something you've overcome. Like, you've traveled a lot. You've done this through university. You're a woman who's grown up in front, like behind and in front of a camera. Like, you've gone through a lot of stuff. So I would like to challenge with this question, like to ask it again and get a more personal answer to this. So let me say, so if I was to answer this question right now, I think it would be that I hit a point in my year in 2023 where my husband was dealing with a lot of suicidal ideation. And I had to spend a ton of time helping him and coping him while also taking care of my family. And it really forced me to, like, I was not able to do anything, let alone pull out the camera and smile. And so that really challenged me with where I was at. And I had to go through this period of, like, just accepting that it's okay not to be there because I had something bigger and more important to take care of in my life. And YouTube wasn't going there and it's going to wait for me. And while I might have to be repairing the damage, which is what I am going to be spending my 2024 doing, like, that's something I have to do. So what is an experience that you have had that has been very hard for you that we can learn from in this situation?
I think something, the first thing that sort of comes to mind when you say that is I did a period of about 10 weeks solo traveling in 2022. And during that time, I was filming basically every day and I was probably experiencing a ton of burnout and also struggling with feeling quite lonely. You know, I was solo traveling and I felt that sort of pressure to, because I had this such an amazing opportunity to be traveling in these such incredible countries, I felt like I needed to film every day to kind of like capture that opportunity. But there were certainly days and moments where I was really struggling, where I still had to turn the camera on and film my day, even if I'd had, you know, perhaps like an upsetting like evening, perhaps where I felt perhaps maybe more lonely, or, you know, I was sick on a few occasions where I just really was not feeling well. And I was sort of, you know, by myself. When you're halfway across the world, you're not feeling too well. Like, it, you know, the last thing you want to do is turn the camera on. But I think I just tried to see the bigger picture and just realize the opportunity that I was having, or that was presented to me, and that I was able to travel to all these amazing places. But I definitely was experiencing probably some kind of burnout, but I was trying to push through it. So I would say, on reflection, I guess it was a good learning opportunity to be like, okay, you know, in the future, if I'm traveling for longer periods and I'm still trying to film, to have a better sort of like schedule where I can sort of take more time to rest, relax, and not experience those sort of feelings of burnout and that I'm pushing myself too far, because I'm in this for the long game, right? I want to do this for a really, really long time. And I think you have to go through periods like that where you kind of learn, you know, everyone's an individual, right? Some people experience burnout in different ways, or some people can push through more than others, and that's totally okay. But I think I learned a lot about myself and how I can experience feelings of burnout and just feeling very, you know, exhausted whilst traveling and trying to film, and sort of managing that in perhaps a better way than I did, you know, during that period of like 10 weeks of solo traveling. So that's what comes to mind when you sort of, you know, ask me that question. If you gave me a day to think about it, I could probably give you a few more sort of specific examples, but I think that's probably what comes to mind, is that sort of a understanding of, you know, burnout as a creator and how you can kind of overcome that and learn about yourself and how to work with yourself whilst you're sort of going through perhaps those sort of struggles.
While you went through that, what did you learn about yourself as an individual and as a creator? Like, what were maybe like some of the systems or things that you put in place for yourself so that you could balance the work, but also still live? Because we have a lot of creators that are on here that do vlogging. And I know I have felt this too. Like, I go on lots of family vacations, and it can be really hard because I want to document everything. Because I'm like, I don't want to forget this. I want my kids to forget this. I want them to look back and see it and know whether I turn this into anything or not. It doesn't matter. I just want the moments to be captured. Yeah. But then it becomes this like, but if I'm experiencing everything through my phone, like, why am I even here? So how do you balance that out?
In all honesty, I probably haven't found the balance entirely still. I think I'm still trying to figure out that balance between how much I'm filming and how much I'm just being in the present for. I think at the moment, with the opportunities I'm getting with the trips I'm doing, I'm probably not having that balance because I'm so focused on the opportunity. But yeah, I think it's all about trial and error, really. You know, if you've got a trip coming up, maybe for me, planning specific filming days and days where I'm not filming, because at the moment I'm filming pretty much every day of a trip. It allows me to be able to bulk record. I can then come back to the UK and then not have to travel for, you know, another period of time, because I can distribute and share all the videos. You know, I'm posting my Pakistan content now. I was in Pakistan in mid-September. So that's sort of how much content I've kind of had. So I think perhaps I'm quite a planner with my trips, but perhaps planning in a different way to allow myself filming days, days where I don't film, so I can still feel like I'm really experiencing a new country or a new place for myself, not just for the camera. So I think, yeah, I probably haven't quite found that balance. But I think
it's okay. And it's okay not to know. Sometimes we're all on this journey to learn. I so struggle. Like, I'm trying to figure, like, I'm doing all this stuff, all this working, all this creating, all this lifing. And I'm like, what am I supposed to create for myself? And it's so much, there's so much killing of your hair and makeup involved. Like, it's really that battle of like, do I really want to do this for a video? Like, it, sometimes I will spend more time getting ready and then record the video and it took less time to do it. So I totally understand not being able to be there.
Look, I'm really sorry to interrupt, but did you know that YouTube is the world's second biggest search engine? Maybe you did, maybe you didn't, but that's why every creator truly needs to be using vidIQ to grow their YouTube channel. vidIQ's tech helps you tailor your video ideas to match what people are searching for right now on YouTube. And once you're ready to upload, well, it starts optimizing and getting you all the details that you need to make sure your videos are getting noticed. If you really want to dive in more and get started for free, please head over to thewomenofyoutube.com/vidIQ to get started on this YouTube channel changing tool that is going to make things so much easier for you. All right, let's get back to it.
I'd love to get some tips from you, though, for how you're creating your travel content. Like, what are some of the things? Like, do you have like a checklist of things that you try to capture or think about when you're doing stuff? Because one of the things about vlogging that's so backwards to how a lot of content creation is that first of all, you need to live it, and then you got to turn it into the story, into the video. So what are things that you're always making sure to like capture or do when you're out and about creating?
I think I plan quite a lot in advance in terms of like before a trip, I will often sort of give myself a bit of an itinerary so I know more or less what I'm doing each day. And then I can figure out sort of like perhaps titles for videos or concepts for videos. So I think step one for me is always the planning stage. When I'm actually out in a specific city or country, you know, I've either pre-planned a certain activity or I'm doing something which I know will be entertaining for a video. Or just recently, you know, a couple of months ago, my trip in Pakistan, I knew that I wouldn't necessarily have to plan as much because I was in a country that was giving me so much in terms of my surroundings and what I was doing. So I guess the content was kind of in front of me and I just had to capture as much as I could, you know, for then post-production, which is obviously the next step, which is where you're trying to create, you know, the story, the sort of, you're kind of trying to put together all these clips in a way in which people can really feel like they were perhaps there with you. That's what I'm trying to get through my content is it's almost as if my audience were there with me and they're sort of along for the journey with me in these, you know, crazy adventures that I get to go on. So there's, I guess, all the different processes. And I think for a creator, making sure that you can develop those processes is really important. That's taken me, you know, a pretty long time. I've been doing YouTube for about 2 years now, and I'm now feel like I've got a good set of processes that can allow me to go from start to finish and come out with an outcome of a video that I'm really proud of. But of course, with travel, there's obviously implications and logistical things. Sometimes things don't quite go to plan, but it's being able to adapt and still being able to focus, you know, on filming days and try and produce something that I can then in post, you know, in edit that I can sort of still share. You know, even some of the Pakistan videos that I've shared recently, you know, on reflection, I sort of think, oh, I wish I had filmed or this and this or said this in a different way. But of course, I can't go back to Pakistan and say all those different things. So I have to come up with a creative way that I can still share the story in a way I'd like to, but just with the resources that I have. So trial and error, I think with a lot of things with content, lots of trial and error, and finding out what processes, you know, as a creator sort of work for you.
I love that. I think that's really helpful information. I know for me, when I'm traveling, I'm always trying to get like movement shots, like panning of things, the slow scroll sideways, the close-ups of things so that you have that. And I really think there's a lot of value in like B-roll libraries as well. You can always like turn back to fill that in and stuff. So because you've been to, what is it, over 40 countries, I'd love to know what were like your two favorite places you've gotten to go and why?
I'd say firstly, Pakistan. And I think for me, it was such a special trip because I never thought that I'd get the opportunity to go. It wasn't on the radar. It wasn't on the bucket list. Essentially, it was a group trip. So it was run by a travel YouTuber called Backpacking Bananas. And she runs trips to lots of different countries around the world. But Pakistan is one of them where she runs these tours. And I saw it pop up on Instagram. And I was like, you know what, this just seems like an opportunity that I don't want to miss out on. I was really curious. And the itinerary looked incredible. So I really went for it. And Pakistan was just amazing. It was everything I expected and so much more, you know, such a hospitable, welcoming place. The things we did, I mean, we went to the base camp of the 9th tallest mountain in the world. We drove along the, I think, second most dangerous road in the world, like Pakistan's most dangerous. We did some crazy things, went on some, yeah, incredible adventures. I met friends for life. So that was just an incredible trip. And then I always say Thailand is also one of my favorite countries. Thailand for me has everything that a travel, you know, not even a travel content creator, just someone who loves traveling. You know, it has everything they could possibly want. You've got Bangkok, you know, the hustle and bustle city, busy life. You've got Chiang Mai in the north where it's sort of that mix between rural and city life. Then you've got the different islands as well, which sort of give you something different. The food's amazing. Again, the people are super friendly. So yeah, if I had to say two, it's always hard to pick, but I'd say Pakistan and Thailand would be my two favorites.
I love that. That sounds like a lot of fun. Do you ever get worried being a woman on the move traveling, especially because you also carry a lot of like expensive technology? Yeah. So there's that, I think, element of it too. Like, how do you keep yourself safe and protected?
Mm-hmm. I think a big thing for me is, and my parents have sort of really stressed it from when I first started to travel, is you never put a price on safety, right? So that can mean many different things. So it could be, you know, staying in a hotel rather than a hostel, or staying in an area where you've researched is more safe than another, even though it might be a little bit more expensive. Or, you know, taking a taxi from the airport rather than trying to navigate the public transport if it's late at night, and just sort of planning ahead, you know, if you're landing late at night, making sure you can get to where you need to get to in a safe way. So, you know I keep mentioning planning. I do plan quite a lot of things just so I can minimize things that, you know, go wrong. Obviously you can't stop, you know, all things going wrong when you travel. There are some things out of your, you know, control, but I try and plan ahead in terms of allowing me to travel in like the safest way possible. You know, I've done a few group trips, which for me have been a really safe way to travel. On my gap year before university, I went to South America, and I probably wouldn't go to some of the countries I went to solo. I felt confident and comfortable going because I was in a group. So I'd say if there are any solo travelers out there that are feeling a little bit nervous about traveling solo, there are loads of group trips and sort of tour companies around the world that offer amazing, you know, travel experiences. So yeah, I'd say planning ahead. Obviously I have travel insurance, so I make sure all my equipment, everything is, like, you know, protected should, you know, something go wrong or anything. But I always make sure, you know, if I'm in a hostel, there's lockers. If I'm in a hotel room, great, I can keep my things sort of safe and secure. But yeah, like you said, very important, because I do carry a lot of like cameras and GoPros and my laptop and everything with me pretty much all the time when I'm traveling.
Do you like spend part of your downtime uploading content to like the cloud in case something happens to your SD cards or things like that?
I do. Yeah, I do more so now than sort of, you know, about a year ago, because I'm doing so much sort of more now in terms of the content I have. And it's obviously such precious content because, you know, it's really helping me do what I do, which is, you know, creating content and growing, you know, my social platform. So yeah, I have a ton of like, I mean, I pay extra for like iCloud storage. You know, you can pay, I think I pay like £10 a month more to have like all the sort of, I guess, not unlimited, like, I think 2 TB is it, of like iPhone storage, because I have like 100,000 photos and videos, which I know when I tell people they are shocked, but it's because I just record vlogs on my phone. I take so many photos, so I do have to think about sort of my storage and things like that. But yeah, I'm definitely quite protective over my content, and like you said, sort of uploading when I can, getting it off the SD card onto my laptop so it's kind of like backed up is always a good tip, I'd say, to content creators. Back up your content just in case.
I think, yeah, no, I try to be on my cloud as much as possible because I am so worried about that. I'll delete stuff off my computer once it's up there, because I'm like, it's safer there than my computer. Yeah. So I totally get that. All right, I'd like to pivot our conversation into, I think, the one that the vast majority of people who see content and travel creators is, how do you pay for this life? How do you make this happen? So could you break down for us like the business of being the kind of travel creator that you are, and give any tips or things like that we can learn from along the way?
Yeah. So, I mean, within travel content creation, there are so many ways to monetize what you're doing. The biggest thing for me over the last 12 to 18 months has been affiliate marketing. That's really allowed me to access, you know, opportunities to go and travel a lot over the last sort of 12 months or so. There are loads of affiliate sort of opportunities. You've got, you know, booking.com, Worldpackers, Amazon, like there are so many. I know travel payouts is a really popular one these days, where you can sort of collate all of your opportunities into just one website. That's a really good one. So affiliate marketing has been really big for me. My YouTube is monetized, so I make ad revenue from my channel. And I guess there's so many opportunities, like brand deals, gifted experiences. I've done a bit of work with Get Your Guide, so I get free experiences in exchange for content. So that's always a reel and a grid post on Instagram. So that obviously saves me money. So it's not just been about how I can make money, but how I can also save money during my trips.
Okay.
I'm still trying to sort of tap into that, I guess. I'm still, you know, so there's still a lot more I can do, which I'm still, thinking of and sort of thinking 2024 is the year that I really sort of delve a bit more into that and try and maximize my opportunities. But yeah, my mindset is, how can I make money, but how can I save money? Because obviously travel is really expensive. And if you can sort of reduce your costs in different ways, then that's only a really sort of positive thing. It will allow you to travel for longer or do more experiences whilst you're traveling.
Now, you've done one of my favorite ways to make money, which is you're offering a service-based business. So why don't you tell us about what Press Upload is about and like how it all works?
Yeah. So Press Upload is an agency which provides creative services to content creators. So YouTube creators, TikTokers, Instagram creators, podcasters. We have a team of amazing people who basically provide these services, and we want to help content creators grow their audience, monetize their content, work with brands, and save time in the creative process. That's kind of like our four pillars that we're trying to really put across to try and support creators with. I come from the perspective of also being a content creator. So it's really helpful for Press Upload because I know what being a content creator is like. I have an understanding of what content creators need to help them to grow, to monetize, to work with brands, to save time. It's going really well. I'm really enjoying the process of, running a business. And, I basically built it during my final year of university. So that was, a challenge at times, maintaining sort of a balance between finishing my degree and sort of working behind the scenes on a new business. But I've always wanted to have my own business. I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. And it is a ton of fun. Obviously, it comes with its challenges. I'm learning every day how things work and how I should do things differently, or what's working, what's not. But it's, very challenging, but a lot of fun, and really excited and passionate to support content creators in many different ways.
I am excited for that for you.
Thank you.
I would like to put you through our rapid fire, if you don't mind. I haven't done this in a little bit, but I think that you have some good stuff to share. So what do you film with?
So I film with three things: a Canon M50, my iPhone 15, and a GoPro 11.
That makes my heart so happy, because I also have a Canon M50, the discontinued camera of Canon, because I'm like, it works and it works really good. Like, so why would I literally have two. I have this one, and I have one that also records my other content. Like, one's for vlogging, one's for the studio kind of a thing. But I love that. I always love people's film on their phones, especially because you're doing such high quality content. Mm-hmm. It's so beautiful. Who is your favorite female creator?
Oh my goodness. So many.
Your list. Dump them out on us.
I really like Lexi Limitless, I think her name is. She's the youngest female to travel to every country in the world, which is amazing. A big goal of mine. I don't know if it's achievable. I'm hoping to go to as many countries as possible. If I can go to every country in the world, that would be incredible. Really admire what she's done. I think she was like 23, I think, when she visited every country in the world, which is just blows my mind. Like, this is incredible. I really like Emma Chamberlain. I love how she has transformed vlogging to make it really just like authentic and as if we're literally just friends with her. Like, her style is just incredible. I did like a bit of a deep dive into her channel recently. I posted it on my LinkedIn, and it was really interesting to sort of do a bit of research about her channel and her success and how she's kind of ventured out into obviously Chamberlain Coffee, her podcast and everything. I love learning about like creator businesses. I think that's a huge part of the creator economy that we'll see more of in sort of upcoming years, is how creators kind of branch out to not just doing content creation, but also doing kind of like other ventures. So I'd say, Lexi Limitless and Emma Chamberlain, two that I watch sort of a lot of their content.
Who's your dream collaboration? Whether it's creating like together, like a YouTube video, or like a brand that you want to work with?
I, Oh, goodness. Really good question. There's a guy here in the UK called Stephen Bartlett, and he is basically the biggest entrepreneur, speaker, author, podcaster, content creator that we have here in the UK at the moment. Super inspiring guy. He is just awesome. So if I could collab with someone, I guess, regarding press upload, it'd be Stephen Bartlett. If I could collab with my travel content, I really like Cara and Nate. I don't know if you've heard of Cara and Nate, like American travel couple, amazing channel, have done some incredible travel content. I think they've visited over 100 countries. They are amazing. And I think they'd be so much fun to film with. So I'd say from like my travel perspective, I'd love to film with Cara and Nate. That'd be very cool.
That's awesome. All right. What's your favorite video that you've created so far?
Oh, good question. My goodness. I think it will have to be one of my recent videos in my Pakistan series was when we went to the base camp of the 9th tallest mountain in the world. And that day was so physically and mentally challenging, like the most physically challenging thing I've ever done. It was like 10 hours of hiking. It was such an achievement for myself and all of the group. And I documented the whole day, the ups and downs and everything. And looking back, it was so interesting to edit it and kind of reflect, you know, in that way. So I'd say it's probably one of my favorites. But yeah, I mean, I've been so lucky to go to so many countries and to kind of document my experiences. So a particular series that's one of my favorites is my Thailand series that I filmed in 2022. That was really cool. That was kind of the start of me really trying to take YouTube seriously and sort of think it out more and plan more rather than just picking up the camera and filming. So that was a particular sort of fun series to film. But yeah, I enjoy sort of it all, but I'd say the Pakistan one was probably my favorite.
Awesome. I know things were getting really good over in our interview, but I wanted to take a minute to remind you that we now have a new home for the Women in Video community. You can head over to Patreon right now, and we have the link in our show notes that you can go find it there, where we're going to be able to have after show information. We're going to have chats. We're going to have information and just come together to answer questions and connect and support each other as creators. This whole creator thing can be really confusing and can be really lonely. So let's come together to support each other like the badass women that we are. Head over to patreon.com/womenofvideo to get started now. Awesome. What is your next goal that you are looking forward to working towards and crushing?
My next goal, I think I have different goals, obviously, within content and also just travel in general. I think travel in general, I'd like to do all 7 wonders of the world before I'm 30. I'm 24, so I've got 6 years. I've done 4 of the wonders, so I've got 3 more to go. I'd love to... Over 100 countries would be amazing. I mentioned doing all of them, but if I can get to over 100, that would be incredible. With my travel content itself, I'd love to obviously grow subscribers and views and all that sort of the metrics, but I really would really love to hopefully inspire lots of people to, you know, to travel, take themselves out of their comfort zone and visit countries, you know, such as Pakistan, where, you know, it's not somewhere where people typically go and, you know, for a holiday. But, you know, I had an incredible experience. And if I can somehow through my videos showcase countries like Pakistan and sort of I guess positively influence people's perceptions, and that would be a really cool thing as well, just to inspire people to travel and sort of reap the rewards of it, because I know for myself how brilliant travel has been for me and making me more independent and meeting, you know, a ton of great people, and I just love it. So if I can inspire people to do the same, that would be really cool.
Now, this is a no pressure sort of question. I do have I'm curious though to know like where having a partner or a family fits into your like life plan trajectory. Not yeah. because I want you to have children, not because I want you to get married or anything like that. I'm just curious about, because I know I'm a mom. Mm-hmm. I have kids, and travel creators are almost always living my dream. There was this period of time right before me and my husband got married and went on the parent track where we were like, let's just buy a van, throw the dogs in it, and let's just go drive yeah. around the country. I can do my job anywhere. Like, I just want freedom and no responsibilities. Like, you just like that moment when you're like, we were in our like almost our mid to late 20s. And so I'm curious, again, as a woman in this space, I know people also ask you that and where that is, but I totally love that you're living your best life right now. What do you think about all of that in terms of like your life and also your profession?
Yeah, I think obviously I'm 24, so I'm still quite young. And I think for the next couple of years, at least, to really maximize my time, I guess, to travel and grow my business and take on lots of opportunities. I'd absolutely love to have a family. So that is definitely a plan. So obviously I will not be traveling around the world forever. But I definitely want to maximize, you know, my 20s to do as much traveling as possible. And then hopefully when I have children, I can then sort of take them on adventures and take them traveling. I'd love for my children to be able to experience what I have. I feel very fortunate to have traveled as much as I have. And that really is, you know, due to my family, my parents, who have also, they also have a love for travel. So since I was a kid, we've been on trips and been to some incredible places together as a family. So if I can sort of take that on and then do trips like that with my family, that would be amazing. So yeah, definitely don't think I'll travel all the time forever. Like I said, want to kind of maximize, you know, the time that I do have, you know, currently. But yeah, I would love to still travel with my family when I'm older. I think it'd be the coolest thing ever to sort of take my kids like traveling to cool countries and getting them involved in all of that.
I talked to a girl named Owen named Jessica. She actually lives in London. Okay. Her brand is called Love in London. It's like about travel guides and things like that. And we were talking off camera a little bit about like families and all that kind of stuff. And she's like, because I had told her, I was like, well, I travel a lot, but I'm with my family. So if you ever need like that perspective, just let me know. I'd be happy to help. And she's like, I don't know how you guys do it. And I was like, it's not easy. You usually don't get to do everything you want, but yeah, it's still really important, because the biggest thing for me about traveling with my kids is I think it teaches them a lot of really foundational things. One, yeah, get out of your comfort zone and away from your creature comforts.
Yeah.
You know, two, as a parent and adults, it teaches us like to slow down and like appreciate and take in what's around you, like planning things like downtime and just sitting places and enjoying like the local things that they have to offer. And three, it's this idea of like, I'm showing my kids the world and they're getting to experience other cultures, and it's going to be able to help them not have constipated or bigoted feelings about people and spaces. And that is really important to me. So like we lived in Korea for a year. We've been to Japan. Amazing. We've been to London, and we've traveled all over the United States as well, going to different places. Like part of it was from military life, and part of it is from like, we have the, whatever the version of hangry is when you don't travel, like that's us. So obviously COVID was really hard for all of us. We were all in our travel hangry, really bad. Yeah. So I just think it's an important balance, and it's a thing to do. Mm-hmm. People always get so caught up in things like cost and how hard it is and all my kids and da, 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 da. Like everything is figure outable.
Yeah.
You just have to, I think, adjust your realities around things and stop thinking that everything is like a five-star, has to be a five-star resort experience or nothing, right? And so, definitely travel with your kids.
Yeah, 100%. I think it's, like, the best education that you can get, honestly. Like, obviously, I've done school. I enjoyed school, university, and everything. But on reflection, like, the best education I think I've received is from traveling, because you just learn so much. Because, you know, we all live, you know, so differently, and cultures are so different, and the food and languages, and it's just – you don't get to realize that and understand that until you travel and you sort of see it, you know, for yourself. So I think traveling is a fantastic education, especially for kids as well, to grow up traveling and sort of understanding at a very young age, different cultures and people and languages and everything. I think that's only a positive thing.
Yeah, I think it's I think it should be a requirement for people personally. I know when I went to college, I studied abroad in Rome, and I went like with an art, because I went to art college. So like an art specific leaning. I feel like I learned and got so much out of that experience versus like what I was getting in college, which was just like grinding and sitting in front of my computer and making and making and making, versus like going and experiencing culture and like how they live among art and like how they do things, understanding culture and having great experiences. Like I just so happened to be there when Italy won the World Cup, and like I got to experience like what's it like when a whole country shuts down.
Yeah,
just celebrate one thing. You know, it's just like that whole like versus the whole country shutting down because something terrible. You know, it's just like this whole like unique sort of perspective, and there is so much to be had by seeing and traveling around the world. And
yeah,
if we as creators who have a unique and wonderful skill can find ways to even just like create while we're there and make it like a business expense or include it as part of what we're doing to like almost as like a justification, please do it all day long, everyone. Yeah. Please just go see the world. It's such a cool place.
There are so many cool places. And, you know, I've been to 41 countries, but I really have just scratched the surface of what there is out there in the world. You know, it sounds crazy to say that, but I have this, I think there's the app on the phone. Everyone was like using it at the end of like 2023, where you can see all the countries you've been to. And my map, like, I really have not scratched, like, a, like, in terms of how many countries there are, like, I've got so much more to see, which is really exciting. And just, well,
and even some countries are different parts to see.
Yeah, exactly. You know? Like, you know, I've been to the US, but I've only been to, like, East Coast, West Coast. I'd love to explore other states as well. So, yeah, so much to explore and to see.
Yeah. I remember watching this TikTok where someone was talking about how we do things in America is so different than how they do things in England, from like traveling to places. Mm-hmm. And the analogy was like a woman and her husband, and like her husband was British and she was American, and they went to Britain to see family, and the town that like where the family was or whatever was like an hour away. And their whole thing was like, oh, they couldn't make it. It was just, it's just too far for them. She's like, oh, like we're that. She's like, it's an hour away. And she was like, we could literally just get in the car right now and drive up there. And they're like, we don't do that. Yeah. Right. And I'm going to England in May for work, and mm-hmm. I'm flying into London to do some creator stuff. And I'm taking the train mm-hmm. up to Birmingham, and the event I'm doing is like on my birthday. So I'm treating myself to a weekend in Edinburgh, like to just go see, because I didn't get to when I was in England over the previous year, just mm-hmm. experience like what Scotland got to offer. Like, what's this thing? Like, what are the Highlands? All this kind of stuff. I was telling my buddy about it. He's like, I don't understand you Americans and your traveling. Yeah, you do so much in these spans of time. So it's just when you think about, like, even if you're just here in the States, like mm-hmm. traveling to other states has so much to offer as so well. Much.
Yeah. So every state is like a different country, right? In terms of the different landscapes and food. And like, that's what the experience I've had
when I have like areas, like you can clump things together for sure. Yeah. Like it's mm-hmm. New England, it's the Midwest, it's the South, like there's a lot of like commonalities within things, mm-hmm. but there's really like really you can always find something. And like if you're ever wondering like what to do in a place, go up to locals or like a hotel concierge and ask them, you have one day in this city, where do you go and what mm-hmm. do you eat, and just take in those answers, and you will always find the best things to do and the best places to eat. I did that when I was in San Francisco speaking about YouTube education to a bunch of business owners. I went down concierge and asked this question. He got so excited because he got to like draw me a map and write me a mm-hmm. list and like hand it to me and said, go forth. And then when the day was over, he was like, so how did it go? And I told him about it. And like, it was this whole mm-hmm. like vibe for him. And it was just a really fun thing. So
love that.
Go be a tourist in your own city. That's another thing that people don't do. Like, how do foreigners or people not from here think about where you live? And I tell people like that, I'll say, was where I live in Michigan, people are so the same all the time. Mm-hmm. And they don't ever think about like, have you ever thought about like all the other cool different things that you have here that aren't normal in other places, like mm-hmm. brands or words or foods? And they're like, I never thought that you couldn't get this anywhere but here. I was like, yeah. You can't.
Yeah, no, definitely. I, you know, even just, where I live in the UK, I feel like I've lived here all my life. So I just sort of think, oh, it's my city. But there are so many cool things I've not even done in my own city and places I haven't even visited in my own city. So, you know, I try and sort of do that whenever I'm home as well. So you're so right. There's always so much to explore wherever you are. And I think, like you said, asking a local, you get the best recommendations, right, for food, hidden gems, things to do. Obviously, there are all the touristy things that I do try and do when I visit a new place. But I love finding like a hidden gem, something that hasn't got like a ton of tourists at, and you sort of feel like it's quite a sort of unique part of sort of a city or country that you're visiting.
100%. That should be one of your videos, like my own town.
Yeah. My friends tell me all the time, like, Ellie, why are you like traveling abroad all the time? Like filming, like, you know, the UK, filming London, filming Manchester, Edinburgh. There are so many cities here in the UK that are really cool. And, you know, I think could make some really cool videos. So my brain always goes, oh, where can I go abroad? But actually, you know, there's so much that I could film and document, you know, from here in the UK.
We were driving up to Port Marion in Wales when we road tripped England last summer.
Amazing.
And it was a bucket list thing we had on our list for a long time because we had kids. There's a lot of us like, we'll take it slow and we'll drive. It'll just be easier.
Yeah.
Once I mastered driving on the side of the road, it was fine. And so we had to drive from like the Cotswolds up to Port Marion. And it was like a 4-hour drive. Like, we always like to find something halfway through when you have like a multi-hour drive, even in the States, that's something to do. And halfway through was Birmingham.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, what is there to do in Birmingham? Like, it's not a city I've ever heard of. Mm-hmm. I have heard of it like later from Peaky Blinders, but it was like, I don't know. Like, what? And then my husband found the Cadbury
World. Cadbury World.
I was like, what? And I was like Cadbury, like the eggs, like the chocolate. And they're like, yeah, we went. It was one of the funnest things we got to do the whole day. It was like something we thought of to do and planned to do the day before we were going to do it. And it was one of the funnest, coolest things to do. And they completely ruined me for chocolate. So it's this whole thing. Like just, I don't know. It's a silly tangent, I'm sure, but it's just where we're at.
No, I still haven't been to Cadbury World. Would love to go. Like it's one of the coolest things I think you can do, like in the Birmingham area.
It's like, it's like people from Cadbury went to Disneyland and were like, we need to bring this back.
Yeah.
And they did. But it was like the 70s, 80s version of it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's the best. And I just had such a great time.
Amazing. Love that.
All right. Ellie, what final advice do you have for creators who are on this journey to motivate them to keep going and just keep creating?
I think, like I said earlier, remember what your why is. Like, why do you love doing what you're doing? Why do you love creating content? You know, and I think your why sort of keeps you going, keeps you really passionate about it. And, you know, I love, you know, speaking to other creators, networking, collaborating. I think that just keeps me really interested in the space. And the more I learn, the more I'm interested by it. And I think just keep going, because honestly, there were times where over the last couple of years where I sort of would think, oh, is this actually something I'm going to be able to do full time? I'm going to be able to monetize it. And I'm at a point now where I am monetizing it. I'm seeing better numbers in terms of, you know, views and subscribers, which is not the only important thing in all of this, but it is, of course, important so you can keep growing and access other opportunities and keep monetizing. So I'd say keep going. Like, you can definitely get there. It just takes, you know, time, consistency, be open to learning, be open to talking to other creators and sort of learn from their experiences. I think that has been invaluable for me, being part of different creative communities and just learn from the creators, because we're all in the same boat. We're all in this together. We're all trying to figure out all the different social platforms, what works, what doesn't. So sort of put yourself out there and speak to as many people as possible is what I'd say.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, for sharing your experience, for all of your advice. It was truly wonderful to chat with you. Remember, you and everyone listening are impossibly amazing. Until next time, peace.
Peace. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Women of YouTube podcast. We would love to know what you thought about this latest episode. So make sure to tag us with hashtag Women of YouTube with your thoughts.